Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am welcoming Lindsay Smith. Lindsay is known as the, I love this, food mood girl, and is a nationally recognized author, health coach, and dynamic speaker. She has a new book out called Eat Your Feelings, which is one of the reasons I was so excited to have her on the show. It's available for pre-order. In fact, I'm pretty sure when we talked about this podcast interview, it is available now. But I have to tell you, I was so overwhelmingly impressed with this lady. She's incredibly talented, very well-spoken, has a lot of input on a topic that's really becoming quite popular because we need to talk about it. And that is, you know, eating your feelings, emotional health, if you will. I would say some complementary topics that we're going to be talking about on the show, both with Lindsay and with others, and, you know, things that are very similar, body image, disordered eating, eating disorders, all of these things that so many of us are struggling with to some degree, but probably feeling a sense of shame around them. And that certainly shouldn't be the case. This is very common, and we talk about this. And what's great about Lindsay is that instead of saying, you know, here's this problem that we all have, here's how to solve it, she has a really different approach, which is, hey, food and emotions are always going to be inextricably tied together. Why don't we just face that? And she actually, as part of her book, is dedicated to recipes that address the emotions that we might be going through. You know, apparently there's certain emotions. Well, I don't want to give it away. I'll let her talk about that. And certainly you can see more of that in the book. But again, this is a topic a lot of us are going to be discussing on the show. And I know that you're going to just fall in love with this girl. I mean, when you hear her story of what happened to her at such a young age, I don't want to give the whole interview away by sharing it here, but what a tremendous and extraordinary thing she's done with turning a negative into a positive in her life. So I know you're going to love this interview. I know you're going to want to go out and get her new book, Eat Your Feelings. And for right now, sit back and enjoy this interview with Lindsay Smith. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am welcoming Lindsay Smith, the food mood girl. And I talked about her in the intro, but before I say hello to Lindsay, I just have to tell you, we will link this up like we do with all of our guests in the show notes, but I always pull up my guests' websites and their blogs before we start. And so I'm looking at that while I'm talking to them. And I have to tell you, almost more than any other guest, that her website will just make you so hungry and so happy. And it is one of the nicest looking websites I've ever seen. So Lindsay, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you. Are you ready to go?
Yay. Well, thank you for having me. And thanks for the compliment.
It's sincere. And I have to ask this in advance. So in your book, which we will talk about, Eat Your Feelings, love the title. Is the bread that I'm looking at and drooling at, is that by any chance featured in your book?
It is. Uh-huh. Yep. It's so good. And it's so easy. Yeah. I say that I'm like a very lazy cook. And so all of my recipes are very simple. And that one I think is only just like 5 ingredients, maybe 6.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks divine. I almost should take your website down, but I'm going to keep it because I absolutely love, and my man friend and I were joking about this last weekend, because I absolutely love to cook, and I do love to bake. The only thing I won't attempt to do are pies, and my mom is a pie maker queen. But anyway, I can't make stuff up. Like I can't just go, well, let me just whip up some bread. But if I start with someone's recipe, then I can do it and I might tweak it to my own. But I am fascinated by people like you that probably just make up recipes, you know, and it's just no big deal. It's like people that can not even read music and just
sit down at a piano and play something. It's art, and I have mad respect for you. So, and the food photography is another thing I want to learn, but that's another separate thing. So let's get started. I'm very, very thrilled to be talking about this, Lindsay. As I told you before we started recording today, we have just in the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, had several guests on the show where we've started this discussion around emotional eating, the mental side of fitness, binge eating, eating in private, you know, all of these issues that I think maybe are probably more prevalent on the female side for sure. We definitely have some men that have written in and said they suffer from these issues or being very self-conscious and so on and so forth, body image issues. And the more that we have started to address this on the show, I certainly have had to deal with these issues. I still deal with these issues. We've had an overwhelming response of people that are emailing us. And so I'm really thrilled to have some outstanding guests on the show that are speaking both from just real life experience, me using my own experience, and then having people like you who have taken it up a notch and written a book about it. So thrilled to have you here. But whenever I have someone on the show for the first time, I do like to hear their background as far as, when was it for you, Lindsay, that you first became interested in, you know, healthier food or leading a healthier lifestyle? When was that for you and why was that for you?
So for me, it started at a really young age. In fourth and fifth grade, I was actually, I had severe anxiety and I had to strategically plan the way I got to school so that way I didn't have to be in front of any sort of crowd, whether it be getting on a bus to a crowd full of students, to getting dropped off, to having to walk in front of everyone, the hallways. And part of that was due to anxiety and low self-esteem that I had. And by fifth grade, I was actually hospitalized for a panic attack. I was taken out of school. And at first, the doctors didn't really know, you know, what was going on. They just assumed that I was sick because of all my symptoms. And so I went kind of misdiagnosed right after that hospital visit. But I just remember I was very intuitive. And I just remember having this sense of, this isn't normal to feel like this. This isn't normal way to live life. And, you know, I was dreaming about middle school and high school. And I just felt like I just had this intuitive sense. And I saw myself, you know, wanting to feel healthy and wanting to feel good. And so even though I was young, even though I was only in fifth grade, it helped that my sister, she is 8 years older than me. And she had similar experiences. And at the time she was like 20. So she was on her own and doing her own things. And she started going to this wellness center and I saw a complete change in her. She just went from very similar issues to I had to feeling very confident to, you know, just feeling good within herself and changing, you know, she changed the way she ate. She started exercising. And so I saw that shift in her and I went to my parents and I said, you know what, I think maybe I could benefit from this as well. I feel like, you know, this is something, maybe this will help my feelings. And so luckily my parents agreed. They sent me to this wellness center and I started working with essentially like a naturopath health coach. And, you know, within 6 months of working with him, I was a completely different person because he, you know, one of the first things we did was change the way that I ate, but not in a restrictive way. We actually added things in, like, you know, more fruits, more vegetables. I started, my mom would take me to the grocery store and I would actually shop for myself. So I had to learn how to make recipes or experiment with things. I started making my own lunches. And by ninth grade in high school, I was actually teaching stress management workshops at student council conferences. So this started for me, I say I've been the food mood girl more than half my life because this started for me at a really, really young age.
What were you teaching in ninth grade?
Oh, I was teaching stress management workshops at student council conferences. I got into student council and that's actually where, you know, so this kind of has come full circle since a kid, but, you know, not only with the books that I write and the message that I share, but just from a speaking standpoint, doing public speaking, I really got started very young, you know, in ninth grade, which is, you know, to me also just the power of all of this and how it can really change your life because I went from someone that had to strategically plan the way I got to school to avoid crowds to by ninth grade, I was speaking in front of strangers at student council conferences.
That's amazing. And I'm glad that you brought that up because you said it much better than I probably would have. I was thinking the same thing, like, wow, ninth grade and you're speaking in front of crowds. I mean, that's one of the top three fears or things that cause anxiety in any adult, and public speaking, certainly. And I'm thinking ninth grade. I'm comfortable speaking in front of crowds. I still get that flutter. Like I get I'm totally cool, calm, cool, and collected until about 5 minutes before I'm going on stage. And then I start thinking about, oh, if I forget to breathe, and then I get all like, and then once I start, as long as I've been breathing, I'm cool. But if I sometimes, anyway, that's a whole other digression. Ninth grade, the fact that you're doing that. This is what's really cool too, is when we've interviewed guests on the show that have had these incredible life experiences that essentially started off like, wow, injury, horrible disappointment, learning about, you know, major, like horrible life chaos, death of a parent, something like this, really impactful negative experiences in different lives that have then transformed that person into somebody who has completely turned their life around. And then, okay, I'm going to say it. To me, that's the definition of fitfluential, because then they've decided like, okay, it's great that I changed my own life. Now I want to help other people. And look at you. Not only was your life about anxiety and avoiding crowds and, oh, this is no fun going to school, to now you have a mission and you're confident and you've changed yourself. That's remarkable. I have to commend you. I'm just going to ask, how old are you now?
I'll be 30 in July.
And you look so, I mean,
everyone thinks I look like 19.
You do. I mean, you definitely have like a very young, bubbly, adorable look. So what a remarkable story. I really had no idea. I was just very excited to talk to you about this topic, but that's remarkable. So obviously then, bridge the gap. You started down that path. And then I'm sure, how do we get to today where you have this amazing website? You're obviously a foodie. And was it something that, you know, later on when we're talking about eating your feelings, and obviously that's addressing this topic of emotional eating and all of those issues that are so common. Mm-hmm. How did you get to that place where you ended up writing a book about eating your feelings?
There's a couple things. I mean, I went to, after high school, I went to college. And as you can imagine, you know, I went from being this super confident person. I was kind of known in the student council world. And so I knew, you know, I was confident in that world, and also very confident in, you know, because I felt, I don't want to say complacent, but there was a comfort level there of having, you know, been involved for, you know, 4 years with that. I knew everyone from my school because my school was super small. So it was K through 12. So I literally knew everyone since the preschool days. And there's a sense of, there became just a sense of comfort. And so when I went to college, it was all new experience, all new people. And it brought up a lot of those same anxieties. You know, a lot of the anxieties that I felt in fifth grade, I was feeling once again in college. It was, you know, a new thing for me. So the first couple years, I didn't handle it super well. You know, I mean, I still did well in school and got by, but just as far as the mental state and my physical state, I wasn't doing the things that I knew were helpful for me. I kind of resorted back into those emotional eating tendencies, also drinking heavily. And so by the time I was graduating, I worked full time all throughout college. And then I was like, you know what, I should probably get a job in my field before I graduate. So I secured a job doing publicity for a wellness center. And when I was there, it was just like fate, because it just reminded me of, oh yeah, you know, all of this stuff, you did all of this stuff and all of this work as a kid. And so then I just kind of realigned myself, started implementing literally the same things that I did whenever I was a kid. And then it was that moment where I'm doing publicity for someone in this wellness center, seeing them impact and help people. And then I realized I could be doing this for myself. I could be helping others and doing a lot of the tactics, you know, the PR tactics, if you will, for myself. And it just, and so I went back to school for nutrition and for culinary. And then, you know, the first thing that I decided to do, as far as building a brand around it, I wanted to do speaking. I wanted to get in front of as many people as I could and share my story and this message. And so I self-published my first book. And that is what set the stage for Food Mood Girl, for people, you know, recognizing the brand and sharing that with other people. And so that was kind of my first into that. And then my last book, Food Guilt No More, I decided to try to seek a publisher. So I had a small publisher put out that book for me. And then that kind of led to Eat Your Feelings, because one of the things that I do when I write books is I ask my audience, I sit with where they're at. I see things even in the nutrition and health field that bother me when it comes to some of these issues. And I like to tackle things head on, but from a standpoint of, you know, like the gray area of things, like being able to look at the black and white and then just be like, okay, but what's this gray? And so by listening to my audience, seeing what they wanted, also just from personal experiences of just, you know, certain things that I even went through within the past few years and what that meant for the bigger picture of food and mood. And so through those things, that's when I, you know, kind of get the book idea. And then with Eat Your Feelings, this I say, I would have never been able to write this book if it wasn't for my other two books, or if it wasn't for the years of doing this, because this is to me the highest creation of what I've done. It, you know, I sought out an agent. I, you know, I'm with a big publisher, and it is everything that my audience has said over the years that they've really wanted, which was, you know, beautiful photographs, more recipes, a complete guide to mood boosting foods, where I go over which foods help with which thing, you know, which foods are good for which emotion. I really dive deeper into all of that. And so that was, so that's kind of like the trajectory of it in a very, that was kind of long-winded, but the shortest I could give you.
Every single thing I ever say is long-winded. So I mean, ask anybody that has ever worked for me or with me or knows me, there are no short answers. So half the time I get in the middle of it, and it happens on the podcast too, I'll start kind of replying back to somebody, and then I realize 2 minutes in, no idea of what I was responding to. And then I have to like try to move it back around, but it's all good. And I love that you brought up the gray area. Incidentally, I had somebody else on the show who actually also kind of used that same metaphor. And I love it, because I definitely think that so many of us, it's very easy for people who decide to get healthy, eat better, maybe they want to go on a quote unquote diet, they want to lose weight, it is very, very easy to go from a healthy obsession, if you want to use that phrase, to an unhealthy obsession, to not know when you've crossed over, right? Yep. And when you're in that unhealthy obsession area, and I've been there many times, it's an old friend of mine, I recognize it now, and some of these things, these behaviors still pop up in my life, but I see how dogmatic I was about everything. I was such a strict rule follower. Everything had to be black and white. And it was like, if I was reading a fitness book and following this approach, and they said, I'll still reference this. One of the first fitness books I read was Bill Phillips' Body for Life. This was probably 20 years ago. And his whole methodology was, every other day you do 20 minutes of HIIT workouts, and every other day you do a 45-minute weight training thing. And I started to do, I really loved Taibo. So I was doing Taibo every other day instead of 20 minutes. And then someone told me, they said, well, that's not HIIT. You're doing the wrong kind of cardio. And I thought, oh my God, I've ruined everything. I would binge because I would get so upset, and I would feel, and I would beat myself up, and I would, you know, yell at myself and, you know, mentally, and I would give up, and then I would punish myself, you know, and nobody when they're, for everybody listening, like when I say this stuff, no woman or man that might have these emotional eating issues, no one says, okay, I'm going to go punish myself. Okay, I'm going to go do some negative self-talk in the mirror. But that's what's going on. Okay, mm-hmm. So nobody plans to do it. Nobody thinks it's cool or fun. But calling it out, like, this is what I do, and then figuring out how, you know, what causes it and how you can get past it or how to deal with it, that's better. So, you know, it's just interesting that you bring up gray area, because I think if more of us were able to go, okay, not everything is black and white, not everything is right or wrong. Food shouldn't be labeled right or wrong. Mm-hmm. It should be, you should be embracing the gray area. Did that take a while for you to get to that place? Or is that something that more you've observed with other people that, okay, too many people need to, you know, stop thinking everything's so black and white? Or was that something that was personal for you too?
I think a little bit of both. I definitely went down the health evangelist route, where, you know, you change and you're excited about a change and you see how it's impacted your life and you want other people to know. I do think that oftentimes, you know, it can be taken to extreme, just like any sort of, you know, religious circle. You can have, you know, people can put certain religious groups in categories. And I think it's kind of the same thing when you have a change in your health. You're like, oh yes, you know, this was amazing and I did this and you want people to know. And I think you have to understand that some people may not be ready for it. You know, they may not be where you are. They may not have been in the same headspace. And to like shove something down someone's throat it's actually going to be counterintuitive, may actually turn someone off from actually getting the help or the change that they need. So I think I definitely was that person for a while. And I call that out often whenever I'm like talking about things. And then from the same token, you know, after overcoming that, and even, you know, stop categorizing food as good and bad and all of those things, I knew all of that. And I had that sense and was sharing that. And then I saw this whole other spectrum within the community at large, in the health coaching community, where, you know, people would say things to me like I wasn't skinny enough to be a health coach. And the funny thing is, like, so now I kind of share about this. I wrote an article about being a medium-sized woman and what that means, because I've been medium-sized my entire life, and I feel like I'm super healthy. But I was, you know, I was just never in either category. I was never thin. I was never big. I was just in the media, you know, just in the middle. And so, I was able to kind of call that out in a loving way as a response to some people, and being able to kind of share that. I've also been judged at health conferences for food choices, you know, where I was at this one conference and we won this luncheon at a health coach conference, and there was like 40 of us. And, you know, this is a health coach conference. They had like, you could basically be like, I want the keto special. I want the paleo this. I want the, you know, dairy free this. Like, they had everything together for people, because they knew, you know, the type of people that would be coming and what they would need to cater to. And so I was the waiter went around, and there's 40 of us, and it was a long table. And he goes around to everyone and to ask them if they want the soup or the salad. And this was like in the middle of winter. It was a cold day out. I mean, I think it may have been like early spring, but it was still really cold out. It was like 30 or 40 degrees. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I really want the soup. Like, that sounds really great right now. And so everyone at the table, you went around and everyone was like, oh, I'll have the salad, no dressing. And one, you know, like everything was just like a big thing. And everyone's going around telling them like, oh, I can't have this. Or just, can you actually substitute kale instead of spring green? Like, it was just like this whole big thing. And then they get to me, and the whole time I'm watching everyone order a salad, thinking like, okay, clearly everyone thinks this is they're trying to out-health everyone. Like, everyone was trying to out-health everyone and was trying to like up everyone, you know. So it went from like the first person ordering the salad with everything to, by the time it got to the last person, they were like, you know, I'm just going to have a piece of lettuce. Like, it got more ridiculous over
just
time.
Just half a piece.
Yeah. And so then but watching this, I felt judged. Like, I felt like, oh wow, what if I get, like, should I get the salad? Then I stopped listening to my body and what my body wanted, and started questioning based on what everyone else was doing. And so finally, when it got to me, I was like, but you know what, it's cold. Like, my body right now is saying it, you know, it wants this soup because it would be warming for my digest, like all these things. So I ordered the soup, and I kid you not, it was like 40 people gasped like in the air and was like, oh, like, oh my God, she got the soup. And the woman next to me was like, oh, you got the soup? that must be nice. And I'm like, it is nice. And I'm sure it's going to be. And then when it came out, I was like, this is nice and delicious. Like it just, but it made me realize like here, these people are in the health world trying to teach other people how to eat healthy. And they have judgmental and emotional eating habits with food as well, that they are not, that are wavering unhealthy, but they're not seeing it that way because it's like, well, a salad should be good for you, right? You know? And so that has been a catalyst the past few years, just kind of, you know, seeing that and trying to, you know, be able to relate to everyday people that don't know these things, you know, that we do. And also, you know, people in the industry to say, hey, like, chill out for a minute, you know, like these are people's journeys. And by you doing this, it's actually counterintuitive.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
I'm really glad that you shared that because, frankly, who else was, I think we were interviewing the two gals at Fit Bottom Girls, and this subject came up of, you know, it similarly, they were talking about how when we're out to eat, you know, that you're judging what everybody else eats. And then I realized, because I still see this in myself, and I firmly believe that the more we talk about this, you know, number one, I've realized that as we started to have a few interviews and then I started putting some polls out in the Fitfluential community, privately and publicly, and just asking people, do you have food issues? Do you have emotional eating issues? Do you have disordered thoughts around eating? Do you know that you need to get better? Do you have body image issues? It was overwhelming. I mean, the first poll we did, it was like 75% yes, or people that knew someone. And then the most recent one we did, it was literally like 98% yes, people going. And so I think the more that we talk about it and make it not so embarrassing to say, hey, I do this, I've binged, I've done this, that's how we can get past it. So I love this discussion, and do you see this a lot? And I'm sure you address this in your book, similar to the food experience when you're out to eat. Two examples. Number one, when I buy quote unquote something that's like a cheat meal, right? And some people go, oh, I don't want to use that word. Who cares? I'm calling it a cheat meal. Okay. Or if I'm going to have cookies or whatever, I feel like I have to tell people around me, whoever it is, if it's my mom, if it's my friend, if it's my man friend, if I'm eating it, I literally feel as though I need to explain to them, well, this is why I'm having this. And I worked out today, and or it's my fast day, or it's this. And nobody's asking. The more that we can object and go, hey, eat what you want, like embrace the cake, then we're not going to have so many of these eating issues, like eating in private, trying to hide what you're eating, being ashamed of what you're eating, feeling judged. I mean, there is a climate in this, and maybe it's not just in the health space, whatever you want to call it, where it is more natural to feel like, oh, I've got to eat kale. Oh, I have to eat fat-free. I have to be paleo. And I think the more that we call that out and start having different conversations, we shouldn't have that feeling. Is that something you address, like women like me that feel if I was going to eat Oreos that I have to justify it to the world?
Oh yeah. I'm laughing because I have a little section in my kale or in my book.
Does your book come wrapped in kale?
Right. It's in my book and it's called Eat Kale, But Don't Be a Dick.
I love it.
Because that's really what it comes down to. It's like, you know what? You eat the kale, but it doesn't, you can eat kale to eat kale. It doesn't have to be pretentious. If you don't like kale and don't want to eat it, that's fine too. And if you want the cookie, great. Like that's fine too. I think that, you know, I think that we're getting somewhere. We're still, you know, we're still a ways out of this being fully, like you said, the more we start talking about it and have these conversations, I think people start to see both sides. I was just doing a panel with my friends, Maggie and Jarell, Maggie of Eat Boutique and Jarell of Chocolate for Basil. And we did this really fun panel discussion. And, you know, Maggie, she's incredible. You have to have her on here and talk about these things. I don't want to do her story a disservice by sharing, you know, these intricate things, but she was, you know, talking about how, you know, growing up, she was like her quote, the fat girl. And people, if she would get a salad, people would be like, oh, honey, are you eating enough? Or if the opposite, if she was eating like pizza, they would be like, oh yeah, we figured like someone like you would eat that. And it just shows that, you know, and then I was telling her, so she shared that with us. And then I was saying, you know, I run into that same thing in the health coaching world. Like, you know, I'm this medium-sized woman. And so suddenly it's like, if I'm out eating a piece of pizza, it's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? And if I'm, you know, eating kale, it's like, well, why aren't you thinner? It's, you know, I think the interesting thing is that you can come at this regardless of your size, your experience, you know, like this is so intrinsic in just a lot of our culture and who we are. And so I think it's just interesting to have these conversations, because I think the more and more that you get with people and we can relate and also say, okay, enough is enough. You know, like these are some of the things that we can do to move forward.
Well, and you know, I think one of the things that first made it struck me was I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and you know, she and I were going back and forth about, we're just obsessing about diet, and I'm so frustrated, and we were just, I don't think either one of us realized it, but we were doing what can be very natural, critiquing our bodies. Oh my God, my thighs are so big, this, that, and the other. We're talking about this and how we need to cut our calories in this. And then it was her daughter that came up and was like 8 years old. It later that night said something about being on a diet. And we both had this face palm, like horrifying moment of, oh my God, you know? And then there's that whole thing of like, wait, it's okay for us as adults, right? We think it's okay. It's okay for me to beat myself up. It's okay for me to be obsessive and crazed about food and negative self-talk and horrible body image. And like you know, feeling like you need to say, I'm a medium girl. Like, mm-hmm. Why do we have this whole societal thing of women feeling we need to be tiny, tiny, like -2? Remember when that was popular in the media? Oh, Jennifer Aniston's -2 now. Really?
I was so shocked. I was at an event last week speaking, and it was mainly adults, but some of the parents brought their kids, and there was this young girl. She was probably like, I think she was maybe 12 or 13, and she came up to me and she was like, what can I do to lose weight? And she's like asking me all these questions, and you know, I said, let's reframe the way that we're thinking about this right now. I said, your body is resilient. It's amazing. It was programmed and designed specifically for you. I'm like, you know, instead of looking at size, let's look at how you feel. You know, do you feel healthy? Like, we had this whole talk about, you know, let's not compare to other people, because, you know, they may have their own health issues. They may be a certain size, but they may have something else going on. They may be sad. They may be suffering with something. I was like, let's talk about, you know, you and your body, and how can we, you know, reframe this? And, you know, she left there being like, oh, wow, like, I don't have to think of a scale. I can look at these other things that, you know, that make me feel healthy. And it, I think just even starting with conversations like that with young women of being able to say, it's not all about this. Like, let's look at these things. And I don't want to say condition them that way, but really mm-hmm. showcase that this is the way that we collectively want to move forward, you know?
Well, can it be for, you know, as you were sharing that story, I was thinking that really what a great way to get anybody, you know, if anybody is saying, wow, you know, I just went to the doctor, he said, I mean, we hear stories like this all the time. People start thinking about losing weight or getting healthy because their doctor said they have to, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have a bad, you're pre-diabetic, your cholesterol's too high, you're this, you're that. And then they go, oh crap, I have to get healthy, you know? And it's mm-hmm. kind of one of those knee-jerk things. But instead, you know, and you put it so well, what if everybody, and we started making this part of the conversation, that when you decide you want to lose weight, you decide you want to get healthy, the first thing you start thinking about is, I need to start changing the way I look at my body. And I've started to use this whole phrase again of, why can't we start thinking about the body as a temple? You know, mm-hmm. you're given one body. It is remarkable in what your body can do. You are remarkable in that your body, your temple, is so unique. You have a unique shape. Stop trying. And the other thing you brought up, the comparison game, you know, so two yeah. things, maybe we start focusing first on, you know, okay, maybe you're unhealthy. Maybe you're 75 pounds overweight. You know, how have you been treating your body up until then? Do you treat your body like it deserves to be nourished and fed great food for fuel? And do you look at this as like, hey, I want to treat my body even better. I want to, you know, get this temple in the best, I want to make this the best looking, best feeling, best functioning temple ever. You know, why don't we treat ourselves like that instead mm-hmm. of punishing ourselves? So thinking about mindset first, attitude first, and then, well, let's explore different kinds of foods and see what makes my body feel better. And then all of those things looking better, that happens when you have your mindset in the right place. Yes. That's a whole changing of the conversation that will take time, but what a different way to look at it. And I would think that could be true not only for the younger generation, but for anybody starting. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that you said that, you know, I've been thinking a lot about lately is that, and I wrote about this maybe last year, but also just the shaming around so many things. Like we want to shame people for everything. And even like people that say they want to lose weight, like that became a shameful thing. But you have to decide where you're coming at that from. Like, are you coming at that from where you said, like, your mindset? Like, is it a place of love? Is it truly a place of, you know what, my body is amazing and I want to treat it right and I want to feel good. And if, you know, if that means, you know, if like my doctor said, you know, this would help, that's why I'm doing it. Not from, oh, well, you know, I want to really show my ex, you know, or like whatever it may be. Like, I really want to show my ex that, you know, I'm better than that. Like, I'm better than his new girlfriend, and that's why I'm doing it. Like, you have to just check, I think, from a deep place of why, you know, you're doing it. And I think, but there, you know, there should be no shame around wanting to better yourself in general. Mm. And then I think, like you said, I think though, the big part is that it does start with the mindset.
I barely scratched the surface of emotional eating, but on the other hand, we had so many great gems here. So I'll be real with you. I'm going to be following up and seeing if we can potentially get you back on the show. Because I know that all of these things, it is so, sadly, it's permeating the consciousness of so many females. And it is starting to affect a younger and younger generation. It's very common. It breaks my heart to think that 8, 9, and 10-year-old girls are dieting and that's very common. And I don't think many, there's probably a lot of moms out there that don't realize, like, you know, it's one thing to be healthy, but you've got to understand that there are little minds that are looking up to you. And are we setting a really bad stage for bad mindset that can move into an unhealthy obsession later on? And all of these emotional eating things, they're so common. For everybody listening, these issues, you're so not alone. I have it. I mean, virtually every woman I've talked to has suffered some form of this emotional eating. And we need to talk about it more because there is a way past it. And I do want to say, like, we're getting to the end of our time, sadly. This flew, Lindsay.
I know.
we really do. I have to have you back on the show because I feel like this was your trailer. This was your intro.
Right.
But, you know, first of all, let me ask you this before my next question. When is your book available? When is it coming out? When is Eat Your Feelings Out?
So it's out now. It's available now. Yeah, you can find it anywhere on, you know, Amazon. You could go to Barnes & Noble, local independent bookstores, have them as well. And then the one thing, I know you probably have one more question and we're wrapping up, but I want to hit on this is, you know, part of how you were saying we all deal with emotional eating issues in some way. And that's part of what Eat Your Feelings is about, is I actually want to reclaim what it means to be an emotional eater, because for a long time we've looked at it as this really bad and negative thing. And we, it's something we don't want to do, but we're born that way. What do babies do when they are hungry? They cry. It's an emotional response. We have an emotional response to food. We were born that way. And if you can understand that, then it opens up this whole new world of, okay, well, why am I doing this? Let's get to the root of it. Let's get to why. Is it something physical that I need? It could be something physical that your body needs, and you know, you're craving something because your body actually needs something else. Or, you know, what's the emotion? Is it, is there an emotional response? Was there, you know, a loved one that passed away that made you a favorite thing, or did a certain day remind you of a memory and then you wanted a certain food? Like, there's so many reasons why. And then once you get to the heart of that, that's when you can truly transform. So I know that's like a whole other thing we could get into, and I think that would be a good episode, but I just wanted to share, like, that's kind of the essence of, you know, how we can bring it to having the emotional issues and then doing something about it.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because sometimes we or I can talk about something on this show and not realize it could be coming across a certain way. And as you said that, I realized, like, I hope I'm not coming across for everybody listening as, you know, oh, we have binge eating, we have emotional eating, eating in secret, whatever. Let's fix that and get on a diet. What I want to say, and just what you said, is I am getting to the place, and it's taken me a while to get there, where I can become more comfortable with food and I'm not judging myself and I'm more calm. Like when I have an intimate evening and it includes, you know, Oreos, I choose to have, I mean, that's just one of my things. I choose to have Oreos, but yet I still have found myself, I just had some last week, and I found myself explaining why I was having them to my man. And I could tell he was kind of looking at me like, I didn't really ask, but so, you know, I've become more comfortable. I don't judge, but it took me a while to get there.
It's a process. It's a journey. I mean, I'm still on it. You know, it's not something that I think happens for people overnight. And that's why it's a journey. That's why it's a process. It's about knowing your body. And so that way you never have to diet again in your life. You never have to feel that judgmental way. And when it creeps in, you're equipped with the tools on how to handle it. Or you can call yourself out on a podcast and say, hey, I did that last week. And it's like, okay, well, guess what? Now I kind of know that and I can move forward from that. And maybe next time I'm eating my Oreos, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it's very true. And so food is to be enjoyed, people. And the goal should be to get past this place of having so much anxiety and stress, because again, that ties back to some of the other things we've talked about and will continue to talk about this year and beyond on the show, which is, you know, life is meant to be enjoyed. The pursuit of becoming healthier should be a treat for your body. Treating your body like a temple is what we should be focused on, as opposed to punishment and deprivation and anxiety around food. We want to get you to a place where, you know, you can, and I pulled up that website that you mentioned, I think it's Chocolate for Basil. What a great website. You have to tell me what Maggie's website is too. But then you can get to that point where, you know, there's so many amazing foods on this planet, and we should be able to enjoy it. We should be able to have an emotional tie to food and get to a better place where we're enjoying life. We enjoy our health. We enjoy feeling better. And there's not this judgment. And that's where we're moving to. And there's so much we can talk about. And Lindsay, I would really love to have you back. So I know we are really at the wall, but this was fantastic. I'm extremely hungry now and I'm looking forward to eating. Lindsay, tell people where they can find you online and where they can buy the book.
Yeah, so I'm at foodmoodgirl.com. The book, Eat Your Feelings, available wherever books are sold. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lindsay Smith HHC.
Okay. And we'll be stalking you completely after this. And yeah. I will follow up with you after this to coordinate all of those next steps. For everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Obviously, as I've shared, this is a topic we are going to be addressing on a huge basis, on a regular basis. So if you have questions or confessions, right, and you want to write into us so that we can address these on the show, please know we will keep your contact information confidential unless you give us explicit permission to use your name and or your contact information. So feel free to send us an email with questions to podcast@fitfluential.com. Everything we discussed here will be linked up in the show notes at fitfluentialradio.com. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Lindsay, for being on the show. I cannot wait to read this book. I'm already obsessed with your blog and your website. And everybody, we will see you next time on Fit Fluential Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fit Fluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fit Fluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.